I'm Cynthia Canty, and this is Stateside. His name was Noah. He was born with cerebral palsy, and when he was 17, he lost his battle against the infections that had ravaged his lungs. Noah's mother, Roberta King, is from West Michigan, and she shares the story of her son's life in her new memoir, He Plays a Harp.
I love talking about Noah. I could talk about him all the live long day, and the book as well. And so it's a joy to me to bring him to people that never knew him. And I think through that, I feel a little less of the loss.
Now, you said you didn't intend to write this book, but this started as you were searching for a response to that oh-so-typical question, hey, how many kids do you have?
It is. And I found that question to be very vexing, and even still to this day, I'm more comfortable with it than I was. And the question is, well, how many kids do you have? Well, we had Noah, who had lived till he was 17 and then died, and then we had his sister. So people would say, well, how many kids do you have? And I'd be like, well, two. And then the question would be, well, how old are they? Mm-hmm. Well, after Noah had been gone a couple of years, they were both 17. Oh, are they twins? Well, no, you know, and it just got really complicated because there's nothing that is a buzzkill to a conversation with a stranger than, yeah, I have two kids and one died.
Boom.
Boom. Exactly.
So you wrote a piece on the fifth anniversary of Noah's death, and that ultimately led to this book?
Yes. The fifth anniversary of his death, I wanted to do something to mark that date. I'm kind of one of those, you know, date-marking kind of people. Anniversaries, holidays, all those kinds of things.
You're talking to one. I get that.
I just
3 years ago today,
Yeah, exactly. And so I wrote an essay about, you know, his actual death and the bravery of him when he chose to die. And he was in the hospital for a couple of weeks and had been quite ill. And we thought he was doing better. And his doctor said, no, the CO2 in his lungs from this lung infection is really rising. And I don't think it's going to be very long. And that day he made the decision to pass. And my husband and I were with him in the hospital. We took him from earth to heaven, mm-hmm. in our belief. And so from that, I wanted to tell that story because not a lot of people, a lot of parents experience the birth of their children, but gratefully, not very many experience the death. And I wanted people to know what that was like to walk your child from one place to another.
And that's how your book opens, your book, He Plays a Harp. And you take us right there with that last health crisis and your honesty and willingness to share the things that you and your husband Mike said to your son as he passed is exactly how you pull us in as readers. You open the book with that.
Thank you.
That was a conscious choice, I'm sure. You didn't start with, well, he was born at, and work your way to this. You take us back there toward the end of the book, but
yes.
Talk about, you hit your reader over the head by a 2x4. You got us.
You know, I think in structuring it, I knew that if people basically knew it was a book about a child that had died, we needed to get that part taken care of. And so I told that story first to pull the reader in. And then I was at a writing workshop in Iowa City at the Iowa Summer Writers Festival a couple of years before this book came out. And one of the instructor in my class said, well, for people to, he'd read this original kind of first chapter draft, and he said, for people to really care about this book, they need to care about Noah. They need to meet Noah and to know him. And so I structured it so we pulled people in. They weren't going to be able to walk away. I wanted them to know about Noah after this death scene. So I got that out of the way. And then I chose to tell these stories from his life.
Yes, and you are really, really honest and frank about how you and your husband had to come to terms with Noah's challenges once he was diagnosed with CP, which was when how old?
He was about 6 months old.
About 6 months old. I'd like, if you would, to ask you to read us an excerpt from your book. And this is where a fourth grade teacher had kind of broken your bubble. You've been reading to know you really wanted to give him that gift of being able to read. And she has just told you Noah just didn't have the capacity to put this all together and read.
That is correct. So this comes from a chapter titled Reading Aloud. She was right. No one ever learned to read. He never learned to do math or science or geography either. His cerebral palsy that came with his premature birth went beyond the physical and affected his ability to learn. His verbal skills were limited, too. He only spoke in simple sentences, asked basic questions, and presented rudimentary ideas in our conversation. By medical definition, he had severe cognitive and physical impairments. But he never felt that way to us. It even feels odd for me to write these words now, because all we saw in Noah was intelligence, keen observation skills, personal charm, and a fine sense of humor. The emotional disappointment of disability nibbled at me throughout his life. It was bothersome, but never overwhelming. Certainly, I felt a sense of loss and sadness, because no matter what anyone says, kids with disabilities have both societal and personal constraints in their lives that present large and sometimes overwhelming challenges. His disability, though, was never about giving up on our expectations for his life. It was about changing those expectations and learning as he grew that his life wouldn't be ordinary. My pragmatic side didn't allow for whining, wishing, or wondering about how this might play out in the future. We couldn't change Noah or fix what wasn't quite right, so we flexed our life around him and what he could do.
That is writer Roberta King of West Michigan of Muskegon reading from her new book, He Plays a Harp, a memoir, the story of her son Noah's life. He was 17 when he lost his battle against infections that had ravaged his lungs. He had been living with cerebral palsy his entire life. And you take us through his life, which you really did keep active and rich. He was at therapeutic horseback riding lessons. There was the camp in the UP that meant so much to all of you. You clearly, as you were telling the story of your life with your son Noah, that entailed some, I'm sure, what were very careful choices. And you share with us some very, very, very frank moments in the book. You talk about discovering your son's first pubic hairs when you're giving him a bath and realizing he's becoming a teenager. You talk about who had cleanup duty after bowel movements. And can you talk a little bit about why you decided that it was worth sharing those extremely intimate moments?
I felt that when I did my first draft of the book and I shared it with some friends of mine and readers as well, I mean, people that didn't know Noah and just some people who were good readers, that one of the pieces of feedback I got from a very good friend of mine who did know Noah said, if I were to read this book, I would never know that Noah was disabled. She said, you write him like he's just kind of an ordinary kid. You know what I mean? He talked about the wheelchair and all those kinds of things. So I went back and revisited it to make it an honest book. I think that when you're going to write good creative nonfiction, or a memoir, you have to be really honest with yourself and with your audience, because otherwise you're kind of writing fiction or something else. And to make it as good as I could make it, I really had to be honest about all those parts of life and to make it interesting for a reader. Otherwise, it's just like raising another kid, you know? And so, and some of those things like, you know, the first pubic hair and all the toilet stories and things like that, become kind of family legend. They become kind of, you know, fun family stories.
But was there any concern of trotting on Noah's privacy in this?
you know, I'm hoping he's forgiving me for all that. I actually, you know, I thought about a piece of the story about the pubic hair was written and published prior to the memoir in a magazine called online magazine called Brainchild, the Journal for Thinking Mothers. And I published it there and I thought to myself, I wonder what Noah would think about this. And then I thought, I think he'd think it was funny because he had a really good sense of humor. And our family has always been kind of, when you have a kid with a disability and you're, you know, dealing with all these sort of human frailties and openness, you just tend to be a little less probably private than the rest of the world. And so I'm hoping that he thinks it's funny and as funny as we do.
What do you hope that other families who are facing similar kinds of challenges, whatever that may be, what do you hope they might learn from what your family went through?
I think that it's really about love, and it's about accepting accepting what life has given you and doing your very best with it. And once you learn that you can't change what has happened or what is going to happen, you just have to manage on, and you have to be brave and bold, and do what's best for you and your child. And in the first chapter, I talk about how my husband and I opted to sign do not resuscitate orders for our son. He had this lung infection that by reading the book you would know he was not curable. It came from not a virus or a bacteria, but from aspirating bits of food and water over about an 18-month period, and the infection could not be cured. And every time we had to put him on a ventilator or suction him, he was unhappy, he was miserable, he was fearful, he cried. And it got to a point where we knew that was what his life was going to be like. They told us if he went home from the hospital, he would never leave the house, which meant he wouldn't go back to high school. Right. Couldn't do that. He loved to go out and eat with us and do all those kinds of things. And we could not let that happen. And so we made the tough decision. And as I say in the book, we never told Noah because we didn't want him to think that we didn't love him enough. But we also didn't want him to live a miserable hospital-bound existence, because that wasn't what he had for the first 16 years of his life.
You loved him enough to let him go so he didn't have to face the vents and the suctioning and all of that.
Oops.
The book is He Plays a Harp, a memoir. Roberta King of Muskegon is the mother who is the author of the book, the story of her son Noah's life. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you for having me.